Geektertainment, the perfect blend of paranormal and pop culture, with your host, Joe Wakefield and Ryan Lang.
I love it. I'm a fan of this. I'm here for it.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Earthling Entertainment with your hosts, Joe and Ryan.
That's right, I'm your host who just found out he was the reincarnation of that monkey from the Ronald Reagan movie back in the 50s. Go figure.
No way.
Joe Wakefield.
Dude, that's awesome.
I mean, if you're going to be a reincarnation of a monkey, at least be one that's a star.
That's right. That's right. Reagan smash.
Reagan smash. You know what? I wasn't sure if I was going to do the monkey from the, but he famously was, you know, had a co-host. It was a monkey. You know, the point is, or if I was going to do the original dog from, what is it? The Little Rascals.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I just, the idea of being the reincarnation of like Rin Tin Tin, like just a famous Hollywood animal. I don't know. Like, I am the Capuchin monkey from Friends. That I would have went with, but I'm older than that episode of Friends, so there would be a paradox. Couldn't be a reincarnation of that particular Capuchin monkey.
Could have been Flipper.
Could have been Flipper. Ooh, could have been. How long do dolphins live? You guys can see how much thought I put into this stupid thing. And this is my co-host, Ryan Lang.
That's me, guys. What's up? Welcome to the show.
So, if you are joining us for the first time, you might be wondering, what is this show? Like, what is it about? Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you. What we are is the perfect blend between paranormal and pop culture. It's kind of a layer cake, if you will. So we start out with a little bit of banter, then jump into our first section, which is spooky stuff. That's all about, you know, not UFOs, aliens, cryptids, ghosts, myths, legends. Then we get into Earth Pop, which is kind of our pop culture headlines for the most part.
Yep.
If we have a celebrity guest, usually the interview goes right there.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. We do pop quizzes at times. Ryan has recently requested one, so we should probably have that in the next week or two.
We mainly just do a bunch of nerdy news.
Nerdy news.
Stuff that we like.
That's Earth Pop.
Pretty much.
That is followed by Disclosure Discussion, which is all about aliens. And then we top it off with Real World Weird. When something is weird, but it doesn't quite fall under the paranormal or pop culture realm, that's where it goes, right there at the end, to tickle your funny bone.
That's right.
Real world weird.
And it usually does. It usually does in a pretty good way.
It does. It does. So if you guys want to support the show, please download the episode. Downloading the episode is the best way to support us. It is like measurably helpful. And
that's
we
true.
Appreciate it. And if you are returning, hey, you should download too. But welcome back. What's up, Jerry?
What up, Jerry?
Trina. I went with Trina because I couldn't decide if it was Tina or Trina.
So yeah. Trina.
It's fine. Trina. I bet there's someone out there named Trina.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And we appreciate her listening.
Yeah. We do. Now, Ryan, you have quite a commute.
Well, it's Michigan, so that means the construction barrels are out.
Yeah, it should be on our state flag.
It took me just short of 2 hours to get back the other day.
Yeah.
And then I finally get to this one point, right, where it's like, okay, I can finally get back onto this freeway because I've done all this extra shit, and the ramps are closed. So now I have to literally go the opposite way down this freeway to get off at the next exit to finally flip around and get back going the way I want to go. Today, just to get here, I was having to do a little, I'm doing like the Millennium Falcon Kessel run over here, just jumping freeways and stuff. And I finally get to where I'm going to hop back on the freeway. There's a state cop that has the ramp blocked off because there's some kind of investigation going on.
Always an investigation.
So I literally have to pull over and type in my GPS, like avoid highways. And now here I am. And I'm going a little crazy, Joe. I haven't had a day off since last Sunday.
It's intense.
Yeah. That's right.
I feel for you.
Like fucking outdoors. It's intense.
that was good.
That's right.
Like intense.
Yeah.
Ooh, well
yeah.
done. Anyways, so Ryan walks into the studio. We're about to record the episode, and I look at him, and I'm just like, Jesus.
I may have screamed a little bit in the car, just, why?
Good energy to start a show with.
What? I did. I told myself, I'm like, bring it back.
Bring it back.
You gotta try to be funny here in a bit.
Or at least just not miserable.
Yeah, you know.
It's fine.
We do our best.
Well, you know what I do when I want to feel good about myself?
What do you do, Joe?
I watch a movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, what movie? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You went and saw a good one, didn't you?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain. I saw Michael. So Michael Jackson. Okay, so this movie right off the bat.
Successful one.
It is. It's the number one biopic ever for opening weekend. It made $97 million in its opening weekend. So it's a big deal. And people love Michael Jackson. I don't really care about this type of movie for two main reasons. One is it's a biopic. I know what's going to happen. And I don't love biopics. I just don't
like real life stuff.
Well, it's not
what
just,
you go to a movie for.
It's not just that, but like the three-act structure of a movie kind of, you know, there's a problem. We're trying to work on it and we're overcoming it. We figured out things are going good. Then the all is lost moment. Then, oh, we pull back and everything's great at the end. You know, that's how most movies are laid out. And the problem is real life isn't laid out that way. So when you try to put, it's like putting a square peg in a round hole. Do you know what I mean? It just, it feels forced.
Okay, so it felt kind of forced to you. I heard
no, just biopics in general are forced. So they're not my type of movie, is all I'm saying, because they're all kind of the same, you know what I mean? But I did enjoy this one. I enjoyed watching it. Yeah, I will say that. I didn't want to interrupt you.
All I was going to say is I think the only biopics that I watched was like the one about Mayhem, the black metal band. And,
Lords of Chaos.
Yeah, yeah. And
good movie.
I'm not going to lie. I don't even think I finished it, which is wild because like I really was into that band for a while back in the day. But sure, but that and
it's
I saw
a little bit of a hard watch. They're not nice people depicted.
No, they're god awful people. And then I watched The Dirt. And I don't even like Motley Crue, but I'm not going to lie, I liked that. I actually thought it was really good. Yeah, The Dirt. It was about Motley Crue, like how they when they were younger coming to power
sure,
and everything.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it was
coming to power.
You know what I mean? Well, they did. You know, at the end of the day, they were a powerhouse back then.
I don't know. Music biopics, they sometimes work. Here's an interesting one: the Beatles one. They're doing four of them, following each member of the Beatles.
Really?
Four movies where they're going to intersect the same events from different point of views.
I feel like they're running out of like hardcore Beatles fans. Like, I don't know how many people are hardcore Beatles fans.
Okay, but you could say the same thing for Elvis, you know what I mean? Same thing,
that's true. That's true.
I don't know. I think Beatles at least have another 100 years of people being like, oh, it was a great band and changed, because they did a lot of stuff, you know, or in the right time, the social change, what they stood for. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that people, it's like a film student being like, I like Martin Scorsese. They may or may not like Martin Scorsese, but as a film student, you have to like Martin Scorsese.
Fair enough. And you're right. There is a pressure when you're in a band, like you have to love, like respect the classics. Because I'll be honest, I don't like the Beatles, but I respect them.
Sure.
But I don't like them.
I don't like jazz, but if it wasn't for jazz, we wouldn't have any form of rock and roll.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Or
but
blues.
It's not. But it, you know, I don't know. So, anyways, back to Michael. I got to see Michael Jackson play Twister with a CGI monkey, and that alone was worth the money for me. It really was.
It really sounded like it.
It was good. So the Michael movie had this interesting journey where, long story short, all the legal stuff that happened in the early 90s, turns out none of that could be in the movie. But they didn't know that when they were filming the movie.
Okay.
So like the whole third act of this film had to be scrapped. They couldn't do it. So they had to reconstruct a 3-hour movie into like a 2-hour movie that worked where it didn't really have a third act. And they did a really good job. They kind of focused on it being like the Jacksons, even though it's called Michael. It's kind of like the story of the Jacksons, the Jackson 5, before Michael officially had nothing to do with them.
Okay. Yeah. And I heard like Janet didn't even want nothing to do with it.
She wasn't in it.
Yeah.
I don't know how old Janet Jackson is compared to the rest of the kids. Like, was Janet, because Janet Jackson feels like she was a lot younger than the rest of them, right? You'd have to go.
I honestly have no clue.
But the entire time I was watching that movie, I was thinking, where the fuck is Janet?
Yeah, it's just, it's such a big thing that I've heard about it. You know what I mean? I've heard about it. I've read articles about it just out of boredom. Like, I don't even have like any intent to like really probably go see it. But, I'm glad they did it. I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan, honestly. Like, it's
really?
One of my, it's honestly,
are you?
I'm not going to lie. It's one of my favorite things to put on the line. Like,
well, that's because you probably have a lot of support with that.
Well, it's just really good.
I could just imagine everyone jamming out on the line to Michael Jackson.
Whenever I put on my favorite one is, all I want to say is that they don't really care about us. Like, I'll put that on and, oh yeah, almost every coworker that walks by is like, hell yeah.
Right. I'm like, goddamn right. They don't. That's right.
So
against the man.
Michael Jackson's very talented. He was a great dancer. He was a great singer. He was definitely a unique individual. I don't think there's a couple songs. Like I love a few of the hits. You know what I mean? But I'm not a Michael Jackson fan per se. But I'm not really a music fan. I'm a movie guy, right? If you tell me, you know what's funny? I probably know more about The Wiz than a single thing album that Michael Jackson did because I'm so more movie.
I couldn't tell you a thing about any of his albums. I just know a lot of songs.
Well, because of the movie, I know which songs were on which album.
Okay. See, yeah, I do.
So you do learn something in this movie.
That's cool. No, and it does sound good. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, the dude was an icon. You know, everybody in his whole circle still denies any of the negative allegations against him. He denied it till he was gone. He's no longer here to defend himself.
Sure.
I can't help but just be like, yeah. Like,
I don't know. He was a weird guy who did weird things, and unfortunately, that could mean he was weird in that way. And it also could mean he was preyed upon because people thought he was weird and this would be something people would believe. I don't know enough about it, man. I never researched or like did a deep dive on the allegations against Michael Jackson. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, it did kind of stick with him, though, where he was always the king of pop and people always love him. But like everyone for the rest of his life was kind of like, eh, he might be a little bit of a kid diddler, which is terrible if he didn't do it. But we don't know. Well, I'm not
right.
The victim. I didn't meet any of those people.
I feel like the general consensus is like everybody feels bad for him. Like, you know, because like that was the whole thing, right? Was that he always was sad that he didn't have like a childhood. And...
Well, his dad was nuts. And I feel like in the movie, they did a really like they showed that his dad, like the whole movie was about him trying to get away from his dad, but it was kind of like thinly veiled abuse where as you're watching it, you're like, oh fuck, in real life, this guy was probably a monster because like, you know, he took out and he beat him with a belt once. And then for the rest of the movie, that was like, you know what kind of guy this is. So if like a door closes or something, you're like, oh, he's going to get beaten. But it felt like we're really skirting around it. Like, yeah, he was mentally and physically abused for sure. That tends to breed weird people. But you know what I keep thinking of?
Huh.
With the allegations and everything that happened in the 90s, this movie ends roughly in 1988 when he's doing the Bad Tour.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know if it's the Bad Tour, but he was singing Bad. It was okay. 1988. They talk about doing more of this, like a sequel to Michael, you know, because they have so much footage that they couldn't use if they could work out the legal stuff.
I heard about that,
too. Up into his death, right? That one is going to be such a bummer because Wicked in Wicked 2 or Wicked for Good is a great example of that. Everyone loved the first one and everyone was going nuts about it. Do you remember when the second one came out, suddenly you didn't hear much? Like, people weren't going nuts about it. That's because it's kind of a downer. And I feel like the first Michael's like, yeah, Michael Jackson on his rise. He overcame. He beat his dad. He didn't die from the burn. This is great. Woo! And then the second one is just going to be like, oh, people think you're a child molester and bad things and your nose falls off and you hold your kid over a balcony.
I was about to say, you almost drop your kid off a balcony.
And it's like, I just feel like, what is the win with the second movie? It's just kind of a downhill
trajectory. I would respect it if they go full tilt, tell the whole story. If they're gonna go like it all deserves to be heard, like everything he had to go through, everything he was accused of, you know what I'm saying? Like not to like make sure to try your, but how could they be unbiased? You know, there's just no way they could be. So like to show exactly how it all went down, exact, you know what I mean? Like it's hard. That would be really hard to tackle.
But let's say they do it and you can respect it.
Yeah, I can respect it.
That being said, is that going to make money? Is anyone going to want to see that movie?
I actually think so, probably even more than this one.
This is a bad example because it made a shitload of money, but it's kind of like how I always thought Passion of the Christ was, where it's just like, why would you guys watch a movie where this guy just gets brutally beaten for 2 hours?
Because Jesus. Because
Jesus, for sure. But why would you do it for Michael Jackson? Oh, because Jesus.
Because Jesus.
Michael Jackson, yeah. King
That's
of
right.
Pop. Yeah,
That's right.
right. Well, never mind. Figured it out. Anyways, guys, I saw this movie at my local theater, MJR Theaters. I love MJR. Check it out. We got a brief ad from them right now. It's more fun at MJR.
Don't just see the movies, experience the movies in IMAX at the MJR Troy and MJR Southgate Cinemas. See the movies like never before in stunning 4K laser IMAX projection on a massive screen. Feel the movies with heart-pounding IMAX precision sound and experience true movie-going bliss in our fully powered luxury recliner seats. Get your IMAX tickets at MJRtheaters.com for the world's most immersive film experience. Now featured at the MJR Troy and Southgate Cinemas.
So, yeah, guys, if you're in the Michigan area, definitely check out MJR Theaters. And if you're not, go to your local theater. Go to a, you know what, better? Go to your mom and pop theater. Go to a smaller chain. Support local film exhibition.
And I do. I don't mind plugging them on here. I go to the, in Monroe, I go to Phoenix.
Ooh.
Just saw, I finally saw Project Hail Mary there.
Oh.
And I know you already kind of talked about it, but to give my two cents, I laughed, I cried. Like it hit the roller coaster was great. It was a wonderful movie. It was like me and my girlfriend, like we agreed it was probably one of the best movies I think we've ever seen together, like new.
Oh, that's nice.
Like it was so good.
Right on. Well, I remember I was praising it when the book came out and you didn't quite get it because
no sense.
Yeah, but now it's like, come on. Yeah.
No, it was
damn astrophage.
The scene when he rolls onto it because he constructs himself like a kind of like a hamster ball.
Yes.
And he first comes on the show, is this a room for trash? Like, it's like, well, I didn't know you were coming. And Elena put it perfect, my girlfriend. She said just Ryan Gosling is just so what's the word? He's just so funny, like without any effort, uneffortly funny. Like
yeah.
He literally is, and it's so true. Like
effortlessly charismatic.
He really, he's hilarious. Like he drove this film with so much comedy. Like there was heart, of course, as well, but it was hilarious pretty much the whole way through.
Well, I'm glad you finally saw Project Hail Mary. I am, it's a good one to watch, but you know, sci-fi movies, like really good sci-fi movies, I feel like they come into two categories where it's like science fiction, the way it should be is science fiction, right? So it's really kind of like technical with space travel. Like that's why The Martian and anything by Andy Weir, this movie work really well.
Yeah.
But then you get the sci-fi like Star Wars, which is sci-fi because it's spaceships, but it's basically fantasy because there's fire and space and magic and shit like that.
Correct. Right? Yeah. Yes.
So I don't know about you, but I feel like we need to coin a new term for a science fiction one because it's like they do it with fantasy. There's like high fantasy and low fantasy, right? So we need like high sci-fi and low sci-fi.
So what's the difference between those two on the high and low fantasy?
Well, like King Arthur would be low fantasy because it takes place on Earth and it's got magic and knights, but something like He-Man, which is on a different planet with different worlds, it's like when things are...
Okay.
Other like Lord of the Rings is high fantasy
because
it's so removed from our world.
Yes.
Right. But something where Harry Potter, you know, they can go to London. They can go to the United
States. So that's low.
That's low fantasy.
I literally never knew that. I just learned that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when it comes to sci-fi, I guess if you apply the same logic, so that would make Star Wars high. Fantasy?
No, I think Star Wars is just always going to... Star Wars is fantasy. It's that weird in-between realm, man.
Like high sci-fi?
Yeah.
Because,
it
like...
It sounds funny. It's high sci-fi.
Right?
I don't think high and low work.
But you're saying... Because it's so removed.
Yeah.
You know? So it feels like that would be high, and like sci-fi kind of like Project Hail Mary would... I guess that'd be high, because he encountered a lot.
But the issue is... The way you would do that with fantasy is like if it's our world, then it's kind of be low. And if it's a different world, it's kind of high. But you can't do the same thing with science fiction because the definition of science fiction is different. Science fiction being like a technical term, like Star Trek being more science fiction because this is all theories and things that could be existing in science that don't really go into magic too often, right?
That's right.
Yeah, there's been a slight bit of time travel and stuff, but when they do that, they have scientific reasons why.
And crazy beings that can just pretty much change reality.
See,
what was his name? I forgot.
Q.
That's right, Q. Yeah.
You know, I wrote a script once called... 12 Angry Vulcans, and it was a parody of 12 Angry Men, and it
I'm dead.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
It was pretty good.
Yes.
And it was all, long story short, though.
It's only logical.
It is. It was all about how Scotty was killed on the bridge of the Enterprise and Kirk was on trial for it. And after going through the whole thing at the end, it turned out that the bailiff goes in to get the final verdict and the jury is just hopping up and down in their troubles. Those little furballs.
Yes, the trouble with troubles. Yeah. Yes.
And then the bailiff looks at the camera and says, I knew this jury was going to be tribble. And anyways, it pulls out.
Yes.
And then it's Picard sitting there in a movie theater being tied up with Q being like, aha, see? And Picard is just confused. Like, why did you show me that? None of that happened. Like, were you just wasted my time for an hour and a half? And that was my way of making it exist in the Star Trek universe is the entire story. It was just Q fucking with Picard.
I like it. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, I could see it. You know what I mean? Because he would put them in these crazy scenarios, like in like an alternate universe. Like,
yeah. You know, honestly, I don't remember my original point of high, low, sci-fi, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but I mean, you're trying to say like, is there like a more earthy sci-fi?
No,
right?
We don't need to revamp. Let's jump into spooky stuff.
Why not?
Spooky stuff. The official beginning of the show.
That's right.
Spooky stuff.
The Smiling Man. Indrid Cold.
The Smiling Man?
The Smiling Man.
That's creepy.
That's right.
So like the movie Smile? Like everyone's like.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Also known as Indrid Cold. Commonly known as the Smiling Man, is an allegedly humanoid entity. The nickname comes from the being's tendency to smile at nearly everyone who encounters him. It is said that he still visits West Virginia to this day.
Hmm. Just specifically West Virginia?
Evidently.
Oh, fair enough. Don't go to West Virginia.
The Grinning Man is reported to be human-like in appearance, though he is commonly associated with UFO activity and is sometimes believed to be an alien. Some theories also suggest a connection to the Men in Black. In his first sighting, he was described as over 6 feet tall and wearing a reflective green suit with a black belt. He had a dark complexion and small, beady eyes set far apart and was said to lack a nose, ears, and hair.
Okay. Well, see, at first I thought it was just a stylish man. Like, you're like a green suit. That's kind of dope. Lack of nose, eyes, or hair? Or, like, ears, you said?
Yes.
So he could have just been a burnt victim with a really snazzy suit.
That's a distinct possibility.
I'm just saying.
He could be a burnt victim.
He could have been Melty McGee.
Melty McGee.
And Meltman with the power to... Melt! Ouchies!
10 points to any listener who gets that one.
Ouchies!
I think about that. Every time I hurt myself at work, I do sometimes go, ouchies!
Fair enough. I still do the Mortal Kombat from like 92 where I just, whoopsie!
Nice, nice, nice. And what's funny, he's actually saying, toasty!
Is he?
Yes.
No, it's whoopsie.
He's saying toasty because that's what he used to say when he would... defeat everybody else in the game when they were developing it, and they all told him you should record that and put it in the game, and he did.
Well,
that is a true Mortal Kombat fact.
Well, he did a terrible job because it sounds like whoopsie.
I'm not gonna lie to you, I never knew what it was. I had just heard about this, and it's evidently true. So you're not alone. I think I learned this like a year ago. So yeah, Mortal Kombat news.
See, guys, spooky stuff. When you watch Earthling Entertainment, you get little gems like that.
That's right. Just you wait. Mortal Kombat 2 is like right around the corner too. We didn't even talk, dude. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Do you know the guy who was the lead in the first movie?
Yes.
I think he's gonna die in the first 5 minutes. I've watched watched every single trailer, and he's in like one scene. I think that starts out where they're gonna murder him and be like, "Oh, better get Johnny Cage."
Will Johnny Cage? Time to dust off them sunglasses.
Be like, "Look, guys, we
punch
all saw
some dicks."
What?
That's what he does. Johnny Cage gets down and he punches you in the dick. That's what he does.
I know, but I gotta be honest. If we're on any kind of rat, you just say "touch some dicks." You're gonna throw me.
I said punch, punch some dicks. See, that's a big difference, Joe. So,
in a second reported encounter with the Smiling Man. Remember the Smiling Man?
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the Smiling Man. His suit was...
He smiled because he wasn't punched in the dick.
He was not. He did not meet Johnny Cage yet.
Butters, quit shooting people in the
dick. Test your might. So, his suit was described as blue instead of green in the second reported encounter.
But, God forbid he owns more than one suit.
But still reflective. So all he's right, got the same enough. Same kind of
style.
Style, yeah. Otherwise,
maybe it was like a teal and the light hitting it kind of made it look green or blue.
It's the material. The yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah,
it's a two-tone.
Yeah, he knows what he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking, no wonder he's smiling. Natural. He's snazzy as hell.
I was going to say, he knows he looks good. Mm. That's right. And he's safe to walk around at night because it's reflective.
He's like, I'm an albino, but I'm also safe.
He's carefree.
Yeah.
He's good.
Well, you'd wear reflective stuff, too, because the reason why he's a burn victim is because he was hit by a car beforehand. So now he's like, reflective suit, only going out at night. Don't want to disturb anyone. This is all coming together.
I literally was about to say
why
this
is he smiling
together.
All the time? Painkillers.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah.
Liquid
yeah,
morphine.
You got it. That's a slippery slope right there. Got to be careful on that one. So he was described as looking more natural with slicked back hair. So he actually had hair. The first one did not.
Could have been a wig.
A coat
he's
with
trying
the,
new things.
Yeah, right? Just like, oh, I might as well. The coat with the top two buttons undone, the pants lighter than the coat, but made of the same material. He also was also described as tan, though not overly dark, and generally resembling a normal human being. According to reports by Woodrow Derenberger, Indrid Cold came from a planet named Lanulos in the Ganymedes galaxy. He also claimed that there were two other grinning men named Demo Hassan and Carl Ardo. That sounds like something right out of Star Wars, honestly.
Yeah, but I kind of wish Ardo was not a last name. I think it just should end with this big elaborate name, and Carl. Fucking Carl. It's like Gary. It's just that name where it's like, God damn it, Gary.
It is true. No, it is true. It is true.
Sorry to all the Carls out there, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's okay. They're cool. They know. The earliest reported sighting occurred on October 16th, 1966, in New Jersey. Two boys, Martin Mouse Muniv and James Jimmy Yankitis.
What? It's James Jimmy Yankitis?
That's right.
That is awesome.
That is a great name.
We should add an Esquire. If I was that guy, I would go to like a place to own land so I could be lord.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, go own some land. Become a lord. They were walking along 4th Street when they noticed a strange figure standing near a fence. As they approached, they saw a tall, bald man in a metallic green suit staring at them with a wide grin. The man then chased them until they escaped. UFO sightings were also reported in the area around that time. Here's a quote. Jimmy nudged me and said, "Who's that guy standing behind you?" I looked around, and there he was, behind that fence, just standing there. He pivoted and looked right at us, then just grinned a big old grin.
Hello.
Hey.
That would be creepy. You like honestly, but what do you do? Like, if you are just the guy, and you're not a creepy supernatural thing, and you're sitting there, and some two people look over and notice you're standing there, you got to, like, say something. You got to wave. You can't just be like,
how did they see me?
You like my suit?
Yeah, right. Like my reflective green suit.
It's rather shiny.
Reminds me of a bumper sticker.
According to Nightmind, the boys later recalled more disturbing details, including the man's unnatural facial features, such as the absence of ears and a nose. Despite the prominence of the New Jersey sighting, some believe Indrid Cold and the grinning man may be separate entities.
I don't know. All I can think is if you have no nose or ears, sunglasses are out of the question. It's hard to be inconspicuous.
Got to do goggles.
Oh, never mind.
Right?
Yeah, fair enough.
on November 2nd, 1966, in Parkersburg, West Virginia, around the same time and region as the Mothman sightings. So I thought that was interesting. Woodrow Derenberger reported a second major encounter. While driving home on Interstate 77, he heard a loud crash. An unidentified vehicle then appeared in front of his truck. He described it as resembling an old-fashioned kerosene lamp chimney, flaring at both ends, narrowing to a small neck, and expanding into a large bulge in the center. So, like, almost like a barrel with, like, pipes coming out of it.
I mean, it sounds pretty cool, I gotta be honest.
A figure emerged from the craft, a tan-skinned man who approached Derenberger and communicated telepathically. He identified himself as Indrid Cold and claimed he meant no harm. According to Derenberger, Cold said that he wanted to learn more about the human race and would visit him again afterwards. Derenberger stated that Cold revealed he was from Lanulos and the Genometis Galaxy. During the same period, in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, the Lilly family reported poltergeist activity in their home, including diamond-shaped lights. One night, their daughter Linda awoke to see a man standing over her.
Okay, so now it's starting to sound like that maybe this thing is an entity that kind of either observes supernatural stuff, like, you know, he just shows up and sees it, like, kind of, you know.
He can detect it, maybe?
Maybe, or he's just kind of the cause of it. Like, what if he's just roams the world? Like, just roams the world, right? And wherever he goes, supernatural feedback and shit just happens. Maybe it's ghosts. Maybe it's earthquakes. Maybe it's Mothmen.
Right.
He just, like, radiates paranormal.
Or, like, yeah, wherever he's from, like maybe it's like a distance.
It's the walking dude.
Right. It's like a distance between two realms, two realities, right? Maybe two dimensions and him coming through, him being able to be seen by us and us by him, maybe creates some kind of rift and it messes with just like the physics in the area that he's in.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, if the other dimension did have different physics than us, and even a small, you know, if it opens up, I could see that.
It's tearing in and it's like almost like cold air coming into a hot house. Like,
fair enough. I'm just like reminded of Fringe. If you haven't seen that show, you should.
No, never saw it.
All right, we won't get into it, but watch Fringe.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Continue. Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyways, I like that idea.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
He's kind of like just radiating, whether it's his entrance from another dimension or just his presence in general, just radiating paranormal.
I kind of thought that a lot, like about a lot of the poltergeist stuff that we've talked about and even a lot of the extraterrestrial encounters that we've talked about, that it seems like things go awry, things are floating, things are doing, it's like, well, maybe that's why. Maybe there's like some kind of thing, I don't know, they bring something with them. So she says it was a man, a big man, very broad. I couldn't see his face clearly, but I could tell he was grinning at me. He walked around the bed and stood right over me. I screamed and hid under the covers. When I looked again, he was gone.
An unnatural smile is creepy. That's why the movie Smile works so well.
It's so just straight up good. Like... Dude, it's so creepy. It honestly, I coined those movies as being like the best original horror we've had in a long time.
Fair enough.
Like, I really feel that way.
But if we go back to the smiling man, the dude has no nose and no ears, and at least some of the reports are he's bald. So that makes it even scarier because
it's inhuman.
I made a joke earlier about it being a burn victim, but that is what my head thinks of. It doesn't think of a gray alien. By the description, to me, that's what I am imagining.
That's the best your imagination can relate to what you've seen. You know what I mean? We've never seen anything like this, and that's why all of these cryptids, it's like you have to take it with a grain of salt because people are seeing something they've never seen before.
Yeah, well, it's the whole argument with ancient aliens when someone from the past is like, it looked like an iron bird in the sky. And people are like, well, they said bird because they had no frame of reference for plane. Well, it could be the same thing. I get you.
Yeah, that's the way I feel as well. Many believe Indrid Cold may be an alien entity supported by the strong connection to UFO sightings and Derenberger's account.
And that's also why people think it could be Men in Black.
Correct. Yeah, because Men in Black have often been associated with missing facial features and stuff like that before.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Creepy.
So Derenberger himself claimed that the grinning man was part of a species, suggesting multiple beings of the same kind. However, skeptics argue that this is unlikely unless such beings are shapeshifters, as I've heard about the Men in Black as well, as it would be improbable for another species to evolve in such a similar form to humans. So it's almost like it's mimicking us in order to blend, is I believe what that suggests.
Yeah, they're basically saying, hey guys, aliens aren't going to look like they do in Star Trek.
We correct.
Yeah.
Alternatively, the Lily family encounter suggests the possibility of a ghost or a spirit, especially given the reported poltergeist activity. Other explanations include, of course, a hoax.
That would be a demon, not a spirit, right? Like a smiling, like, no ears. That's a creepy demon.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like anything that has lived before.
Yeah, well, most humans who would die in their ghosts, they're not, like, super stoked. They're not going to be like...
Yeah, I have to agree. Yeah, there's something very sinister going on here. So some say a hoax, some say a prank that's gone too far, or misidentification involving a person with unusual behavior or mental illness. Some also believe the story gained traction due to the widespread fear surrounding the Mothman sightings that were happening at the same time. And I had to add this here because we talk about this MetaZoo Cryptid Nation trading card game. Indrid Cold is a trading card in that game. Like, almost every cryptid we do is like, we have to start collecting these. I'm literally going to start looking into MetaZoo Cryptid Nation.
Might as well.
Dude, they've got some. I believe Spring Hill Jack was one.
Fair enough.
Dude.
So, yeah.
He was messed up, dude.
I like Spring Hill Jack.
Go check out that episode, guys. Yeah, that one was messed up.
I think it was in the 90s. I think it was like 97. No, I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was a good episode. Anyways, guys, what do you think about this smiling man? I mean, do you think it's a Men in Black? Do you think it's an alien? Do you think it's a ghost? Do you think it's a demon? We would love to hear your thoughts. You could hit us up at earthlingentertainmentpodcast@gmail.com.
Greetings, future foundlings. I am Quentin.
And I'm Emily, and we are the hosts of the Missing Role Player Found Actual Play podcast. We offer intense roleplay, fully edited, immersive audio that will place you alongside us in our grand adventures.
Like in SAO, The Antithesis of Darkness, our series where if you die in the game, you die in real life.
That's right, we kill our players.
It's a humble beginnings to high fantasy isekai adventure where average people become legendary heroes.
But if you're more interested in post-apocalyptic science fantasy drama where humanity has been thrust back into the Middle Ages, then help us search for relics of bygone civilizations.
Because we can't find them.
In the Gage Chronicles.
Together, our cast and crew, we are Missing Role Player Found, an immersive, narrative-driven, actual play podcast with a catalog of different shows and more on the way. That's Missing R-O-L-L Player Found. So pull up a chair and join us on a grand adventure.
And that's it for this week's spooky stuff.
We kept it spooky just for you.
We did. And now we're going to jump into Earth Pop. That's right.
The Earth Pop Report. Talking about everything to do with Earth Pop culture.
Woo! Here we go.
Well, our first story is kind of a sad one for anyone who is a fan of The Boys. So, Gen V, it's kind of like a spinoff series.
Okay.
Well, they've canceled it. It is over after two seasons. No more Gen V.
What was, was there a specific character from the show that it spinned off?
It was kind of like The Boys. It's in the same universe, but it was like the college years.
What a bummer. I mean, that happens, right? They get these successful shows, and then they're like, oh, well, then we can do more. And it's like, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
Sometimes it works very well. You know, Frasier was a spinoff of Cheers, and that lasted forever, and then had a sequel series to itself.
I never made that connection.
Yeah. Frasier was in Cheers as Frasier. And then later, Frasier.
Huh.
Yeah. There's a lot of weird spinoffs.
I did not know. Okay, so there you go. There's a successful spinoff.
I think Mork and Mindy was a spinoff of Happy Days. I know Laverne and Shirley was a spinoff of Happy Days, wasn't it? All that shit was connected. Man, the 70s sitcoms, everything was connected.
Right.
Number two. So, Stranger Things. They finally have a cartoon for kids. You know what that means? Marketability. McDonald's is going to have a Happy Meal for them, and it's coming out May 5th. So if you are a Stranger Things fan, which I am, you can check out this Happy Meal, which I won't.
I know my kids love the Demogorgon. So fair enough. If they have a Demogorgon toy, they will be all set.
Man, I watched the first few episodes of the Stranger Things Tales from 85, and I got to be honest, it's just, it feels so inconsequential because none of the characters are going to die. Nothing is going to matter very much because if it had mattered, we would have brought it up at some point during the show. They brought in a new character who's like this punk chick, and it's like, great. So she's either going to move away or die because we didn't see her through Stranger Things. It just, no matter what you do, it feels so inconsequential. And I tried to just sit back and enjoy it, but it's just ultimately I'm watching it going like, I want to. I really want to care. I am the demographic. I like this show. I'm the guy who's going to spend $200 on a physical media box set of the entire series.
It's true.
But your cartoon's stupid.
And you know how I feel. Yeah. I watched it to the metal guy because everyone was like,
the original series.
You got it. Yeah, you got to watch the metal guy. So I watched everything up until then. And I walked away being like, it was good.
Fair enough.
I don't see the hype. It was good. Maybe I just wasn't there for it. I waited too long.
I don't know. Once again, I really liked it, but season four was the peak of the show. I didn't mind season five. A lot of people didn't like the ending. I kind of braced myself because most people don't like TV show endings, so I was fine with it. I don't know, man. It was good, but this cartoon, not so good. Not so good.
All right. Well,
but it is marketable for Happy Meals.
I was going to say, there you go. You got Happy Meals. Kids will watch it. Kids will stream it. They'll get their money back.
Hey, remember a while back, a few days ago, or a few shows ago, I should say, we covered the Avatar movie, that how it got leaked online?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it turns out they found the guy who did it, a 26-year-old man from Singapore. They arrested him as the guy who, you know, leaked the movie because obviously that's going to cost them a lot of money. I don't know exactly how that works because they moved it from theatrical to streaming. So it's not like they were going to make money off the streaming, but you still can't leak a movie. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to think.
I imagine
that was the guy's argument. He's wrong, by the way. You shouldn't steal and release movies for sure. But his argument was, well, it wasn't going to be in theaters, so I didn't think it mattered.
Definitely mattered. And I guarantee there was something with his paperwork that's, you know, said he couldn't be doing anything like that. So he broke his contract.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, hands down. There's no way. Like, why? What for?
I don't know. Most people were just pissed off that they worked on a film that was pulled from theatrical release. And I do get that. You know what I mean? That's something to be mad about, but leaking the movie is kind of like, hey, you know all this work that everyone worked on? Well, screw it. I'm sinking the ship for everyone because it didn't turn out the way I like.
Yeah, see, and that's where I disagree. No, that was a dumb thing for him to do.
Well, he was arrested, so.
Yeah. Yeah, don't be doing that.
Oh, man. There's just so many weird things that are coming out in pop culture lately. I'm kind of enjoying it. Like, things that you wouldn't expect. Like, nostalgia things. Do you remember Echo the Dolphin?
Do you remember how that ended?
Yes, I do. It's a little dolphin, and it's a Sega game, and at the end it fights the alien queen from Aliens. Yes. I know it's not the alien queen, but it looks like the alien
it
queen.
It definitely was the alien queen.
Well, they're making another one. If you've been waiting for like 30 years for another Echo the Dolphin game,
boy, howdy.
We're gonna do it, guys. If you've been just waiting for your Echo game, it's gonna happen. And there's not really more news than that besides the fact that Sony has said that it's in development and it definitely is going to be a thing. I hope it's for every console. I hope it still is a 2D side scroller, and I hope we're still fighting aliens.
I remember having it on my Sega Game Gear.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, which I'm sure as many, it was competing with the Game Boy, and it was a lit-up screen, which was great.
It looked beautiful.
Yeah, you had to, you know, catch light with your Game Boy. With that, it had a lit-up screen before Game Boy did, and it was great.
It sucked batteries dry.
Ran on 6 AA's for about maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it would suck them dry. And then, yeah, and you'd have to plug it into the AC adapter. So now you're begging mom and dad to let you plug it in while they're driving. And, you know, that's a hassle. And
at least it had an AC adapter. I don't remember the adapter. I just remember playing it and it was broken all the time.
And I remember playing Echo the Dolphin on it. And it was so hard. That game was so hard. Like, they were so hard.
Well, do you know that live-action Scooby-Doo Netflix is doing?
Oh, no.
Well, they started production.
I'll bet they did.
It's happening.
Ruby Roo.
I don't know. I saw some of the images of the people they casted, and quite frankly, they're bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just me. Mackenzie Grace does not feel like Daphne to me. I guess that's my real thing, is I just can't get down with Mackenzie Grace as Daphne.
What? Remind me, what's her work?
She played Phoebe from those new Ghostbuster movies. The main little girl from those new Ghostbuster movies. She had, like, the brown curly hair and the glasses.
Yeah,
yeah, she doesn't look like that, actually. She's a blonde girl, and she looks completely different in every other movie she's been in. But if you're only going to know her from that one, there you go.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Well, anyways, I'm happy because I like Scooby-Doo. I like iterations of Scooby-Doo, most of them. But we will see. I'm dubious, to say the least. But it is in production. It is happening. So there you go. It's not just rumor. They're getting behind cameras.
They're always going to do more Scooby-Doo.
They're always going to do more Scooby-Doo. But you know what? Sometimes these things start and they don't continue. Kind of like the Buffy the Vampire Slayer show, where they were going to do a reboot and then they canceled it after the pilot.
Probably smart.
Fair enough. Well, another project similar to that has been canceled. So do you remember a while back we reported that they were going to do a Clueless revival series?
I do remember that.
Yeah, well, Peacock says no. They are not moving forward with the Clueless television show.
Well, it's just the market feels so saturated. There's so many shows. So many new shows. So many revivals.
The revival thing is fine. I don't know how big of an audience there is for Clueless now. I don't know. It was a big deal at the time, but wasn't, like, Clueless...
It was, like, for younger girls at the time.
At the time. So let's say you're, like, I don't know, that age in high school in the early 90s. So that means you're, what, like, 50s? You know, 45, 50 now? Like, do you really
maybe more like our age, I'd say. More like our age.
I don't know. Clueless came out, I was, like, maybe 10?
That long ago?
Yeah, it was mid-90s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well.
You forget, man. Our freshman year of high school was 2001. So our version of the 90s, we think we're like 90s kids, but we were 90s children. Like, not even 90s kids. We're 90s children. We were young.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Like, Scream came out when I was 10.
That makes sense. So, yeah, so Clueless probably would not do so well. So I guess they're not wrong.
Well, Peacock obviously didn't think so. But Peacock's been making some interesting choices that I disagree with, like canceling Ted because it's expensive. It's one of their highest shows, like rated shows. Like, people watch that more than anything else, and they're like, we don't want to pay for it anymore. I don't know. Whatever, Peacock. I'm okay with you for now because you're doing the Crystal Lake series. But if you cancel that after one season, I'm going to have some words, Peacock. I'm going to have some words. Oh, man.
You get an angry email from Earthling Entertainment.
Listen, sir. I am disappointed in your decision making. I guess I should just keep moving on.
Your colorful feathers mean nothing to me.
I'm just going to keep running through these stories. All right, The Mummy 4 has moved forward, guys. It has moved forward several months. It's now October 15th, 2027. So if you're ready to see Brendan Fraser be all badass again, well... you're going to get your chance. It's kind of like Indiana Jones, where they made two movies way after his time, and you're just like, wow, they're still doing this. I want that with the Mummy series.
I'm honestly excited for that one, and what's funny, if I may add, they just had the horror Mummy come out, right? It was totally
Lee
different
Cronin's.
Film.
Yeah.
Completely different. You know how many people went to see that thinking it was the Brendan Fraser new movie? So many people. My coworker did.
You gotta be stupid.
I couldn't believe it. He came back to work and he was like, dude, so I saw the new Mummy and it wasn't even the Brendan Fraser one. I'm like, did you do any research? I'm like, dude, it was totally a horror.
And well, not just that, but there's not a single thing of marketing that's like, this is related to the other mummies at its time.
And so many dumb people went and saw it thinking that it was the Brendan Fraser film, because around the same time that they were promoting this horror mummy movie, they were doing interviews with Brendan Fraser. So people got confused, so much so that people are now trying to accuse the studio and like everything like that was involved in this latest horror mummy movie of purposefully like
not telling people what it was. But I'm like, I literally saw the preview. I saw ads on my phone. Like,
yeah, whoever's actually, if that's a real class action lawsuit, they're going to lose. That is dumb.
They're trying to say that they fooled the people into going in to see a Brendan Fraser film when it was not.
You know, this reminds me of the time when Sausage Party came out, which was a rated R animated film.
Yes,
and people like took their kids, and it's incredibly inappropriate. Sausage Party is vulgar to an extreme. Can you imagine?
I can't even, like, I wanted to quote something from it, and I can't.
It's all...
I don't want to on our podcast. It's that vulgar. Like,
I mean, the end of the film is a giant orgy with all the food.
That's right. And no holds barred, let me tell you.
You know, they made, I don't know if they're going to make a third season, but they have two seasons of a show, Sausage Party Foodtopia.
I remember you showed me, and you're like, dude, just watch one episode before you leave.
And it was traumatizing. Weirdest episode. That's what I'm saying. The show never actually let up. It is horrifying.
Joe had to like grab the remote and be like, click. And we both sat there like in silence.
If you want to see like the most out there adult cartoon that makes some real left turns,
and let me tell you, you don't, but
Sausage
if you're
Party
curious,
Foodtopia on Amazon Prime.
I definitely got a taste.
Speaking of taste,
oh,
are you a fan of cereal?
I am.
Do you like Kellogg's?
I mean, yeah.
Well, they're bringing back toys in the cereal box. Yeah, that's actually happening.
Oh, dude, bring back.
It's been more than 10 years since I've done it.
The lightsaber spoon.
I remember the lightsaber spoon.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get anything that good. I think they're going to be really, really crappy. It's kind of like Jack and the, the Cracker Jacks?
Yes.
Where when we were kids, you got a little plastic ring, and then slowly within our lifetime, it became here's a little temporary
tattoo.
Yeah, something that.
Now it's a sticker.
Yeah, exactly. You guys got cheap, man. I remember watching a show from a movie from the 80s or 70s, and a kid opens it up and he's like, got a whistle. But I didn't get a whistle. I got a fucking tattoo of a little bunny. It's crap.
It was pretty cool bunny.
Stupid Cracker Jack. Anyways, Kellogg's is going to give us crap again.
Thank you, Kellogg.
I know. My kid's going to be like, you buy that one. Or it's terrible for you. And he's like, yeah, but I can get a little action figure. I'm like, fine.
You know what? Yeah. Make sure to save the box top. Remember that?
Oh, yes. I do. Didn't they donate 5 cents to every school for every box top you saved or something like that?
Remember Angry Beavers did that. They had to save all the box tops to get some kind of prize. I forget.
I remember that as well.
Remember that?
I do.
It popped in my head out of nowhere.
There's a few things that don't exist anymore, but they existed in the time of the people who were writing the shows that we watched as kids.
Right, so even, it still was there.
Exactly. So even though we were kids and it didn't exist anymore, we still knew about it. Things like, you're the millionth customer at this grocery store. All your groceries are free.
Yep.
It's like, that didn't happen in our lifetime. That was when grocery stores started.
Dude.
What do you mean the millionth customer? You mean today?
Dude, it's wild.
It is.
It's wild, dude. Everything's changing. Times are changing.
Yeah, well, we're bringing back everything old, and it never stops. And another thing that's happening, do you remember the web series The Guild from 2007? Felicia Day did it. It was kind of fun. Everyone watched The Guild back then. It's not ringing a bell?
Nope.
God damn, Ryan.
I know. I'm so... I don't watch shows.
It
I
doesn't
never have.
Matter. This is some pop culture, this during your...
What year? You said 2007?
Yes!
During that year, I was in a black metal band. Opening up for Dimmu Borgir and Celtic Frost.
Yeah.
I was definitely not caring about American TV shows.
It was an internet.
That was me.
It was an internet show, you jackass.
Whatever it was, I'm not interested.
Well, Felicia Day is bringing The Guild back for a movie with the original cast more than 20 years later.
Well, actually, I'll really cool. be. Is that
really
is pretty cool.
Yeah,
no.
I'm a big fan.
No, that's exciting. So they got the whole cast?
Yeah, they brought everyone back, and it was a very successful web series that ended up getting monetized and played on the air, and they sold DVDs. DVD sales actually really lifted that show. It's what made Felicia Day famous. It was her start. And yeah, with that is all of our basically our news stories. Iron Lung, this is the only other thing. Iron Lung, that movie, the horror movie that came out a few months ago, is going to be self-distributed. So
that's nice.
Mark Plyer's
good for them.
Yeah.
Remember that guy? Remember that gal? Well, now they're dead.
Brings us to Jerry Conway. He was 73, known for co-creating The Punisher, Firestorm, Jason Todd, and writing the iconic The Night Gwen Stacy Died.
Dun, dun, dun.
Rest in peace. Bringing us to Kozo Shioya. Forgive me if I did that wrong. Age 71, best known as the voice of Majin Buu in Dragon Ball Z.
That's why it's on there for you, bud.
Thank you, buddy. No, Majin Buu, what a... It was such a pivotal moment in that show. Wow, what an iconic character. That's crazy.
I think it's hilarious because I talk about all this well-known pop culture shit. I'm like, hey, did you see this cultural icon? You're like, no. And then it's like, Majin Buu. Oh,
and
let me
I'm
talk.
Like, oh my gosh.
That big pink marshmallow villain, let me tell you.
Dude, he was a son of a bitch. He was a son of a bitch. He really put it to him.
He killed Krillin. Everyone killed
Everyone
Krillin.
Everyone kills Krillin.
All right, move on.
What was it? There was a meme because there was one scene where Krillin's looking really serious on a phone, right?
Sure.
So someone took that and made a meme and they just put it at the bottom. I don't know who you are, but I will find you and you will kill me.
I mean, if you're gonna die as often as Krillin, you gotta hang out with the most powerful beings on the planet. Just be like, hey man, get the Dragon Balls, make another wish, bring me back. Because that's it, right? They just keep bringing them back every time they make a wish. Like, they kill whoever the hell they want. They're like, well, put all the balls together, make a wish.
To be fair, to hand it to Krillin, he tactically is the most powerful human in the series, because everybody else is like hybrid. They're half Saiyan. So he's like the only...
I feel like this is funny because no one listening to this gives a shit about Dragon Ball Z.
That's the best I've got for you guys.
No. I just think it's funny because like we have this really vague knowledge of old Dragon Ball Z from the 90s. You know they redubbed every episode. So like the stuff you watched when you were a kid doesn't sound like the things that are out now.
I know. I heard that you're right. I haven't seen any of it. I haven't even seen Dragon Ball Super yet, and I really want to check that out.
Well, the reason why I bring it up is this gentleman who played Majin Buu, I believe he is the Japanese voice actor, the original Majin Buu.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, rest in peace. Age of 71. Bringing us to Daryl Sheets, age of 67, known for his appearances on
Storage Wars.
So I definitely know Daryl.
You definitely know Daryl.
I know Daryl.
All right. So here's kind
oh,
of,
man.
Here's
rest
kind
in
of
peace,
the
buddy.
Sad thing about Daryl. He killed himself.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
it's not cool, man. So I wanted to bring it up because he was one of my favorite characters in Storage War. I did watch Storage Wars. He's the guy who bought all the comic books at a young age and he got the bug. And now he's always looking for his next comic book nest egg. Blah, 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 blah.
I remember that. Wow. Right, I haven't seen that in so long.
Well, the reason why I bring it up is simply because, guys, if you're having trouble with mental health, I mean, seek help. There's always a better answer. It's tough. I think anyone who unalives themselves, as the kids say, you know, you just hate to see it.
You can honestly just type into Google how you're feeling. It'll give you the number, and you don't even have to call and wait. You can text. You can get on a texting line as well. It's
helps out there.
They are there for you guys. And, of course, family and friends are always there. So, guys, speak up. No one wants you hurt.
At the off chance you're an asshole and you're adopted and you literally have no family or friends, there is still people who are paid to talk you out of killing yourself. So give them a call.
And life is precious.
Life is precious.
So
was that too much? I'm just saying.
Hey, you know what? We're a bit of a spooky
podcast. We don't want any of you guys to die.
No, we don't. We don't. And we also want you
guys. I
mean,
I guess unless you're a terrible person, if you're like cannibalizing and eating people or something. And you know.
What if they have nothing else to eat?
I guess it would depend on the circumstances. Okay, if you have clear circumstances why cannibalism in your particular instance is okay, I will at least hear you out before I say you're an asshole.
Here at Earthling Entertainment, we will hear out your cannibalism reasons.
Look, if there's an argument to be made, I want to hear it.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So
you want to know something fucked up, though? I heard the I heard the closest thing to human meat is pig.
Yeah.
Like, both in skin, texture, and color and everything, right?
Yeah.
And I wondered in my head, I was like, is that why there's so many religious groups and other people who are like, oh, let's not eat pig? Is it because, like, I don't know, at some point someone was a cannibal and was like,
it's really similar.
Right?
Like, just like, I honestly had them back to back.
Yeah.
It tastes the same.
It's like, all right, that one's Wilbur. And that one's Greg.
That was Greg. Yeah, that was Greg. I thought it was going to be Gary again.
Gary!
So Gary gets to live. All right, that's good. He drew a longer straw.
That's so, the end of Earth Pop.
That's right, and that brings us to the stars.
That's right, a little thing we like to call...
Disclosure discussion. It's about aliens and stuff.
So, let's keep with this dark energy we've been having here at the end of where we just left off, and we're going to jump into disclosure discussion, keeping it dark, because this has been a big thing lately, and I've been trying to tread lightly on my research when it comes to telling our listeners about these scientist disappearances and all these other things, because I've
let's call it what it is. It's the dead scientist conspiracy.
Correct.
And some people really think this there's something behind it.
And we've already covered one before already. Mm-hmm. And so this is one that was kind of making news, and I was originally going to avoid it, but after reading enough about it, I was like, you know what? No, this is something worth talking about. So all here right. we go, guys. Matthew James Sullivan, remember his name, his death fuels UFO debate. The death of alleged UFO whistleblower Matthew James Sullivan has sparked widespread debate and online speculation. Sullivan, a 39-year-old U.S. Air Force veteran, was found dead at his home in May of 2024. Authorities ruled his death an accidental overdose. However, renewed attention in 2026 has raised fresh questions about the circumstances surrounding this case. Public interest surged after reports resurfaced about Sullivan's planned testimony before Congress. He had reportedly agreed to speak about secret U.S. government programs related to unidentified aerial phenomena. Some outlets claimed that he possessed insider knowledge of a covert legacy program involving recovered unidentified craft.
You know, it's weird. If you just happen to be, I don't know, fall into the situation, like you happen to be an innocent bystander and you get abducted or swept up into some military situation with aliens, well, then I could understand wanting to talk about it because you never asked for that. But if you are a military officer or anyone in the military or government and you are given secrets about aliens or anything, I don't get it. Like, you went into a situation knowing that you were going to be given sensitive information. Just shut your damn mouth. I want disclosure. Don't misunderstand. But do you want to die? If you know you're part of a clandestine government, you know, I don't know. That's just me.
And that's another reason why I want to tread lightly, because what was it? It hasn't been that long that I've been celebrating. I'm like, great, you know, because they've been saying that everybody can talk now. They're saying that all of these pilots, they're getting rid of the scrutiny. Go ahead and report what you see. You know what
sure.
I mean? It's
you
not a big deal.
You won't be fired and disgraced anymore if you say you saw an alien.
Right, and that's what we thought. But I mean, so
there's
that
a difference between being a pilot knowing you won't lose your job if you report a UFO, or being a military officer who is in a secret program
that's
and
true.
You're spilling your guts. Dude, I am not one who is like, let's trust the government. That is not what I'm saying at all. All I'm saying is if you enter that, if you are a part of the machine,
you got to be smarter.
Don't be, I mean, Jesus.
Like, I agree. I applaud his bravery on trying to speak out, but I agree with you. He should have done it a bit safer, you know, like, you know,
if the entire world is really just got the wool over their eyes and we're being lied to on a day-to-day basis, I hate to be this guy, but it's like, what good is you recycling that pop can do when you're standing in front of the factory that's polluting? Do you know what I mean? So it's like, why are you going to put yourself in danger and say...
You got to start somewhere, you know?
But what the fuck is the... The whole world is a government conspiracy. Everyone's out to get you. Do you think... Gary, do you think Gary's opinion on this matter is going to change anything?
Well, poor Gary. You know, like, and, you know,
To play devil's advocate, if he was killed for the information, then obviously the government did think him talking would be bad. So I guess it's a moot point.
And who knows what this disclosure is. And that's what we all want to know. And now we're hearing about all these people disappearing who were in the know.
Yeah.
And wanting to speak out. And I it's crazy. There's so much right now that, like I said, I don't even want to go off. I'm going to just go off what I got.
I don't know. If I find out some stuff, I could see spreading it. But if I'm working for the government in a world of secrets, don't tell the secrets. That's, I don't know. That's like my only point. Continue. We got to get the story. Yeah. I know. We're talking in circles at this point. I get it.
There is no verified evidence supporting those claims that of the legacy program, and officials have...
You mean the secret program wasn't documented?
No. What are you talking about? And officials have not confirmed the existence of such programs.
Sure.
Still, the timing of Sullivan's death has raised concerns among some lawmakers and online communities. U.S. Representative Eric Burleson described the case as sudden and suspicious and later referred it to the Federal Bureau of Investigation for review, citing potential national security concerns. Sullivan, known by the call sign Quake,
That's a cool call sign.
Had a long career in the military intelligence. He served in the U.S. Air Force and worked with several high-level agencies, including the National Air and Space Intelligence Center, the Air Force Intelligence Agency, and the National Security Agency. So, I mean, he was no small pawn.
Sure.
He also served during Operation Enduring Freedom, and reportedly received a Bronze Star for Valor.
Sure.
Colleagues described him as skilled, disciplined, and deeply committed to his work. Medical officials determined that Sullivan died with a combination of substances, including alcohol and medications such as alprazolam, cyclosporine, and imipramine. His death was officially classified as accidental with no evidence of foul play.
I guess we could have looked up those drugs, but I think it's a moot point. I mean,
of foul play at all. He was just having a normal guy having his imipramine.
I mean, maybe he was partying. I know so little about what those drugs are.
I have no idea.
I can't tell you whether those are recreational or like it's for my ass polyps.
Bro, you don't want cyclobenzaprine? You know what? So cyclosporine?
I might.
Dog.
I don't know what it is. I might. Maybe it's a lot of fun.
Hey, you know, let's do this, bro. Let's dive in.
I think at our age, we're not going to just dive into random drugs, especially ones off a list of a dude who died, but I hear you.
Well, you know, there was no foul play, so it's fine. Despite this.
It'd be funny if it was a long list of all these like proper drug names, and then at the end, it's just like, and crack. I bet it was the crack. All right.
I saw that scene.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street. It looks fun. Despite this.
Can I tell you some small story about crack?
Yes, you may.
Okay, so. This is 100% real. I was doing a movie in 2000. No, I was 19, so I don't know how old it was. But the point is, it was Wayne State students from Detroit. I was playing a Mexican drug dealer named Miguel.
Okay, Miguel.
I didn't cast myself, so don't get mad at me because I'm clearly not of Latino descent.
Olé.
But the point is, we're sitting there in the scene the first day I'm recording this movie with these guys, and they didn't have the prop crack. So one of the guys there who was just like, oh, I got you, he goes out to his car and he just drops 5 bags of actual crack on the table. And he's like, there, just use them. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like 19, and I'm in the hood in Detroit. They're shooting a movie. And I'm just like, okay, so this is crack. should I be on camera pretending to sell actual crack?
Probably not.
Well, you know what? It was an awkward shooting day. And
so that's out there somewhere.
Well, no, they never called me back. So I don't know if the movie never happened or my performance of being startled with actual crack.
Okay, guys.
I don't know. Flash forward.
1 week from now.
There's a movie out there where I'm like, look.
There's cops at the door here at the studio. All right.
You know, I just.
We got video of you selling crack.
To be fair, it was clearly a scene, officer.
Why is that so funny to me that now there's like evidence of you selling? Because it's real crack.
There's definitely video.
There's
definitely actual video somewhere in existence of me holding up bags of crack.
Alleged.
No,
we're going to say for all of our sakes, alleged crack.
Dude, an artist's life is an adventure, Joe. And sometimes Joe. You're filmed holding illicit substances.
Joe.
What? It's not like I did.
I didn't open
the bag. It's not like I was like, let me handle this crack. I did.
This is like a South Park scene. Or whitest kid you know. Like, okay, we're gonna film this scene, but we actually need you to. This is real crack.
It was funny.
Is real crack.
I remember distinctly that the director, who is this really nice guy, he liked my audition. He cast me, so I like him. But he was just like, dude, you bringing in the real shit? And I no.
So this has happened before?
Yeah. Well, he at least was aware that particular gentleman was in arm's reach of actual crack.
Oh, God.
I guess we could talk more about aliens. It's fine.
Evidently
Back to this dead scientist. Don't smoke crack.
So outside of his professional life, Sullivan lived quietly in Virginia with his wife, Amanda. Friends describe the couple as warm and welcoming, often hosting dinners and gatherings at their home. Huh. Sullivan enjoyed cooking and spending time with close friends. He is survived by his wife and their two dogs and is remembered for his generosity and strong sense of community. The case has gained additional attention following the deaths of other individuals linked to UFO research. The reported death of David Wilcock in April 2026.
I was going to talk about that. He was on Ancient Aliens a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his circumstances.
They said suicide.
Yes, but it was also very tenuous of just like, he was fine. He was talking about like things he was going to do in the future.
Yeah.
The cops show up. And within minutes, he shoots himself. It's just, it's part of the, I don't know.
And, sorry, forgive me, I added to public concern. Some reports also report a number of scientists and researchers who have died or gone missing in the recent years. Estimates suggest between 11 and 14 individuals connected to aerospace or defense fields may be involved. However, authorities have not confirmed any direct connection between these cases, and we know that all of them were involved in some way, spider-linked to the UFO investigations, UAP, of the government right now.
I don't know. A bunch of science. When smart people who could explain things to you start dying, you have to assume the person killing them is someone who doesn't want things explained to you, which is scary, because that means someone is doing a play for power.
And I've said it before on this podcast, we all just accepted this since we were kids, right? Every UFO book, if you were a kid and you were into UFOs like I was, you went to the library, you picked up a book at school, and you looked, and they all said that it was covered up.
The American government lies to you.
All of it did.
To be fair, I'm sure every government lies to their people, but I'm with you.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, we shouldn't be surprised at any of this. So federal agencies continue to review available information to determine whether any connections exist among these incidents. So far, officials say the cases may be coincidental, and experts caution against drawing conclusion without evidence. Claims involving secret UFO programs or targeted deaths remain unproven, and authorities maintain that Sullivan's death was accidental based on current findings. Still, the combination of timing, background, and his alleged whistleblower role continues to keep this case in public opinion.
I mean, the more scientists die, you got to start thinking, oh, maybe we should start connecting these dots.
And they're all connected. Some of them with nuclear programs. Some of them with, like, definitely aerospace was a big one. And they're the ones that are heavily involved with UAP.
It's fine, guys. Global warming isn't real. The government isn't trying to get you. And things aren't falling apart worldwide. Don't worry.
Even South Park apologized to Al Gore about Man Bear Pig.
Yep.
Let us remember they did a whole episode apologizing.
All right, so I don't want to assume our listeners know what the hell you're talking about. South Park basically the creators did not really believe in global warming, and they made fun of Al Gore by calling Man Bear Pig a fictional creature and kind of represented that as global warming. Well, years later, when they changed their mind, they had a whole episode where they were like, sorry, Al Gore. Sorry. Our bad.
Man Bear Pig is real.
And to be fair, I think that that gives them a lot of credibility. That is growth as a human being.
That honestly is
standing up and saying, I was wrong, which is hard for most people to do.
Especially a show like South Park, who they're unapologetic in every way, in the same way that this week's disclosure discussion was very unapologetic in thinking that this guy might have been taken out. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I believe that there's something going on. I do.
I do, too, but honestly, what are we going to do about it, man? You want to go stop?
We're going to tell the people.
Like, this is why I'm obsessed with pop culture and movies, because, like, if it was a film right now, somehow we would be swept into this situation where we're going to save everyone, because we're gonna find one bit of clue that leads us down a rabbit hole, and we're on an adventure, and we are the unknowing individuals who will stop this conspiracy of killing scientists and change the world. But fuck, man, the world doesn't work that way. And God, it is tough to sit there and be like, there could be a conspiracy, but what are we gonna do?
I want that whole thing to be clipped because I thought that was brilliant.
All right.
Fair enough. Was quite brilliant. Well, quite brilliantly put, my friend, because what are we gonna do? But yet that right there, almost everything you just said, in my opinion, is our mission on this podcast. Is to keep, we're going to report.
I thought we were just going to entertain people. Entertainment's in the word.
We are entertaining.
Entertaining.
We are fun. We try to be funny. Yeah. Like, you know, we're having fun here. But at the same time, we are covering shit that we all care about, that we're all like, what's going on here?
That's true.
And I feel like over time, I mean, heck, we're knocking on 150 episodes here. We're going there.
Well, we're closer to, after this episode, we're closer to 150 than 100.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? And we're going to keep doing it, guys. And once again, we already plugged the email, but please, if you have a UFO story or something that you've heard about that we haven't talked about, something that you've seen, please email us, earthlingentertainmentpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, actually, I was going to get some paranormal investigators up on the show. We haven't actually had, like, legit paranormal investigators on, and I think I'm going to do that soon. So we have
nice.
We have this team that we're looking at. I don't want to say too much until we work out the details, but I'm with you on that one, buddy.
Cool. So here we go, diving into the unknown, and I guess...
Final segment of the show!
That's what's up. That's where we're at.
Come on, people. Let's get real.
Weird.
Real world weird.
Now for a really fun part of the show.
It is.
The weird part. And the reason why I like this is two reasons. One, it's fun to end the show on kind of like it's usually funny. The real world weird, I mean, it's usually funny.
So it's usually pretty goofy.
It's good to end the episode on kind of a lighter note. But also, I like things that are strange but actually happened. As much as I love pop culture, as much as I love the goofy and the strange in entertainment, it's just so much better when it's real.
I know. I still think about those bananas at the side of that church. Who keeps leaving these peeled bananas?
Well, Ryan is referring to an earlier story.
That's right.
Several episodes ago in England where they just peeled bananas and left them in a plate in front of a church.
All the time.
But why?
No one knew. No one ever caught them. And that was we actually covered it twice because there was an update.
That was a pretty good real world weird. Well, we got a couple weird ones for you today. Ryan, take it away.
Tiny melons, big questions.
We're talking A cup.
A mother-daughter duo.
Oh, never mind. Sorry. No,
it's, I was going to say something, but I was just like the first line, right? Here we go.
Okay. Didn't mean to be creepy. Moving on.
Don't check for this on your OnlyFans. A mother-daughter duo in Virginia has reportedly bred watermelons the size of chicken eggs.
I mean, I kind of really love this.
I'm honestly not mad about it because I don't really like watermelon. So maybe if it was smaller, that'd be kind of cool.
I just kind of like the idea of throwing a watermelon at someone. Like, sorry.
We're talking full on watermelon. Green rind, red flesh, seeds and all, just
tiny.
Just like the size of an egg, right? That would be kind of adorable, dude. I bet it would go really well in Japan, man. They love tiny little things. Like, you get a dog and you shrink it. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't use traditional GMOs. Instead, they used a selective breeding process involving chemical mutation techniques to shrink the fruit over multiple generations.
Wow. Kind of like how we breed dogs and having like stubby legs and flat faces.
Love me.
Kind of, right? I mean, that is the thing, right? Like, that dog's got a nose I like. Let's have him have sex with that dog. All right, now they got stubby legs and you just keep doing it, right?
Yeah. I mean, you ever seen pictures of like the original, what's it called? The pit bull terrier?
Kill me.
The original looks great. The new ones now have like a weird egg head.
Oh,
they look crazy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Selective breeding is always weird. I guess it's less unethical with fruit until we find out that fruit are conscious.
Yes, they are. Yes. Like poplars. good reference. The result, mini melons, weighing as little as 80 to 200 grams. All of our stoners will be able to understand that. About the size of an egg, but still sweet. And fully edible.
It sounds silly, but if you got a watermelon this size, you can cut it in half, and it's a straight-up watermelon, that sounds like a lot of fun. Like,
it kind of does.
You scoop out the middle, put some cottage cheese, you got a breakfast.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm honestly in for this, because like I said, I'm not really a big melon guy.
It is weird to think of, like, tiny fruit, but we made grapes seedless, so it's like, if we just changed things. You know what blew my mind is the fact that oranges aren't, like, a thing. Like, we made them. There wasn't an orange tree. We got lemons and kind of crossbred them until they were sweeter, 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 and turned them into oranges.
Well, we did well.
We made oranges.
Oranges are pretty sweet. I like the little clementines.
Fair enough. That just blows my mind is all I'm saying.
Right. Right. Yeah. we're just making up our own shit. Making up our own food.
Humans are so fucking horrible. We're like, let's change the world.
Let's do it. Here we go. Can't play God if there isn't one. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Sorry. So the goal wasn't just novelty. It's actually aimed at vertical farming and reducing food waste.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Smaller portions mean less unused fruit.
Yeah.
So yeah, somewhere out there, someone is packing a lunchbox with a watermelon like it's the size of a hard-boiled egg.
Hmm. It is a space saver. Think about it. You have an apartment. You can only build, like, you can only have, like, things, the balcony, you know, right? So you have the upside down, like, tomato plants, stuff like that. If you had watermelons that size, that actually does make a lot of sense. I don't know. I don't know, man. I would try it.
I only like I said.
How do I get a hold of this? How do I get these little watermelon seeds? Like,
probably had to order them. They'd probably be expensive as holy moly.
I'm going to Google this. I'm going to try to find them. I'm just going to bury it somewhere in random parks and people are gonna freak out.
Well, like I said, I like clementines. They're tiny, they're easy to peel, they're not all like, they don't like spit out all over your hands when you open them up, you know. Like a big ass orange, you know. So we're always modifying things for convenience.
That's all we do.
That's what we do.
As humans, like yeah. how can we be lazier?
That's literally what we do, and that's how we've done this. So I guess that brings us to the second real world weird.
Number two.
Where gravity goes to die. A decades-old roadside attraction in Michigan that claims to defy the laws of gravity is officially up for sale.
All right. I wanted to say real quick. So we are in Michigan. From Michigan.
We are.
If you're going up north to the UP, there's a place called the Mystery Spot. And I thought that's what this was. But apparently they have a different roadside attraction. But go to the Mystery Spot. I took my son there. He has a nice little shirt. It's a lot of fun. It's essentially exactly what they're talking about. But apparently this is a different one.
So it's a mystery spot.
It's a tourist trap. It's like an old school, you're off the highway tourist trap. It's a lot of fun.
Mystery Hill, located in Onsted, has been bending minds for roughly 75 years. The main draw is Gravitational House, where everything appears off. Balls roll uphill. People look taller or shorter, depending on where they stand, and your sense of balance basically taps out and goes home. Now here's the kicker. The whole place is on the market for $299,000.
Now, I realize we don't have a little bit more than $250,000, but I would totally buy a tourist trap if I could. It would be fun to operate. Just be like, hey, what's up? I'm Joe Wakefield. Fuck my podcast. Check out this 100-foot-tall ball of yarn.
There's a dude taking a crap in the back.
It's fine. He's a trucker. They do that. Don't take a shower.
That's right.
Yeah.
So,
have you heard about truck stop showers?
I've heard of lot lizards. I know that that's a thing at truck stops. They're hookers. Like, literally, they have to, like, I've watched trucker videos where they have to lock, like, they take their seatbelts and they lock up the doors when they go to sleep at night because they come a-knocking like the undead.
What?
Yes.
What are you talking about? There's just, like,
prostitutes just knocking on their door. Yes. Yes. They're called lot lizards. It's a big problem. It's a real thing. I just blew Joe's mind.
Next week's spooky stuff.
Lot lizards. Honestly, we could go on. Honestly, I'm not even mad about this idea. Could I do that for a spooky stuff?
If you get a full segment.
It's pretty scary.
If you get a full segment, we'll do it.
All right. All right, bet, guys, bet. So the whole place is 299,000.
Like, where do we go from there? Continue.
And it's not just a weird house. The property also includes a small museum, a gemstone mining attraction, and a gift shop. Because, of course, it does.
The Mystery Spot has a maze, so, you know, better.
Hey,
and a little ice cream shack.
Get lost in the, you know, mystery.
I really want to own a tourist trap.
I can tell.
Yeah, I really do.
We could make some.
We could. Yeah. Earthing Entertainment presents Spot of Mystery. You got to change it a little bit.
Me and my girlfriend, we've always wanted to one day own like one of those creepy like little hotels that has like all the individual like houses where you stay at.
I like those.
You know what I'm talking
like
about?
The tiny little cabins.
Like it reminds me of Bulletproof with Adam Sandler where they got to stay in the honeymoon suite. I know that's like a very vague, but that's what it makes me think of.
Oh, you know, they made a straight-to-video sequel called Bulletproof 2.
No way. And honestly, I love that movie, Bulletproof, going way off on a tangent, guys. Sorry. But there was so much more to that movie that got cut. Like, they really, like, dove into their friendship and stuff like that. So much was cut from that movie.
I hated that movie.
I love that movie.
I hated that movie because I wanted Adam Sandler to be funny. So I was like, oh, a new Adam Sandler movie or an Adam Sandler movie I never saw. And it was like, what is this, Cops?
I thought he was pretty fun. That's true.
What is this, Cops?
That's
what are they doing?
That's why you didn't like it.
I don't like this crap.
That's why you didn't like it, because it was kind of real life.
Where's the penguin that he sees when he's drunk? This is bullshit.
Not the Adam Sandler you signed up
Not
for.
The Adam
I
Sandler,
understand.
So, yeah.
I understand. So back just feel like I have to remind everybody. So back where gravity goes to die, this roadside attraction in Michigan that claims to defy the laws of gravity. The current owner says that the place pulls in about $25,000 a year, operating only between Memorial Day and Labor Day. So
okay, so that's not bad, right?
No, I'm terrible on my dates. How far in between is that? I don't know. Like
it's
summer?
It's basically
summer.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. But also, it's just kind of like, if you're living, I don't know if you guys realize this, but if you're living in the UP or some of these rural parts in Michigan, $25,000 a year might actually be enough for you to live on. Depends. I mean, hopefully you don't have a big family and you're not divorced paying alimony, but you know.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be that guy. Anyway. So, it's a seasonal business built entirely on confusing the human brain. Experts say these gravity hills are actually optical illusions caused by the way the landscape is shaped. But let's be honest, that doesn't make it any less creepy when you're standing there watching water flow uphill like physics just gave up.
I like that line.
Yeah. Even better, the owner says they're looking for someone fun-loving to take it over, which feels like a code for, you must be okay with running a business where people constantly question reality.
I'm fun-loving.
That's
give
what
me
we do.
Yeah, I'm not paying for it, but if you want to give me your business, I will run that shit.
So.
I'm not giving you $300,000, though. No. If I had $300,000, I'd make a movie. I got to be honest.
And I'll be in it.
Yeah, that's true. You would be in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because it'll work for free. I will. So, if you've ever wanted to own a place where gravity doesn't work, logic is optional, and tourists willingly pay to feel disoriented, go ahead and move anywhere in Detroit. No, I'm kidding. Michigan might have your next investment opportunity.
They just might.
They just might.
Well, you know, guys, I feel like this is a bit of a weird episode, but we did it.
We did it.
We nailed it.
We did.
We covered the topics.
And you guys were here with us the whole time. Thank you. Do us a favor. Share this podcast with a friend, with someone that you hang out with, any coworkers. Be like, hey, you know, you're looking for something new?
Are you looking for a podcast that's a bit of paranormal and pop culture?
New episodes every Thursday.
That's right. Remember to download.
Yes, please. And also, yes, please, guys, another big thing is, if you haven't yet, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're going to be uploading everything there. We have been since the start. So go ahead and check us out there, please. And give this one a like, because it's got full video. That's right.
That's right. And from all of us here at Earthling Entertainment,
see ya. Live long and prosper.
Hey everybody, I'm Andy.
And I'm John. We're the hosts of Zombie Strains, the podcast where we watch all of the zombie movies in chronological order.
It has been a wild ride so far, discovering where and when all our favorite zombie tropes originated. Things like the first cannibal zombies,
Bowery at Midnight, 1942,
the first rage zombie,
Teenage Zombies, 1959,
and the first homicidal zombie,
Dr. Blood's Coffin, 1961.
If you love zombie films as much as we do, join us on Zombie Strains.
Find Zombie Strains on your podcast app of choice.